Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just like that, it's sunny in Kansas City. You know, we started the show. It was dark, thunderstorms. We're still under a tornado watch, I think, till 5 or 5:30.
Something like that.
There was a tornado warning for a couple areas early, like at 10:30 this morning. But now it's sunny. I haven't been outside. I don't know if it's, I guess it's not humid, I wouldn't think. I guess it probably feels pretty decent outside. So we'll see. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. Reminder, tomorrow, depending on weather in Chicago, we have a short show. We are going to have Jay Binkley, though, come in for the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow. That's the plan. Could turn into a four-hour show, depending on weather situation in Chicago.
But I'm leaving at noon either way, you know? I've decided.
Just leaving. hopefully they get to.
I'm already leaving at 1:30 on Friday. Might as well just call it a nooner on Tuesday. Is that a weird time for me to leave early? Would you prefer?
1:30?
That actually feels like the best time. If I'm going, I don't think I would leave the show any earlier than that. You know, I've been late several times in this show for roller coasters and blimps.
Yes.
And I've been offered to rappel off of Arrowhead. So, I mean, who knows?
Yes.
Maybe I'm late that day.
Yes.
You should come in late one. You know, you're late for doctor's appointments.
Not for the show, though. I've been late for, we normally peel back the curtain. We normally meet like at 8:45 as a show. That actually, I have a doctor's appointment next Tuesday. That'll happen next
Tuesday.
Oh,
really? Tuesday. So you're thanks but for not, the advance
but
notice.
Not,
you know?
But not late for the show. Usually by 9:15. Oh, this is a three-month checkup. If you've noticed, Cody, actually, haven't had any problems, have I, since like mid-January?
Oh, wait. Are you fixed?
Knock on wood everywhere.
I thought you were dying for six consecutive months.
No, we got the
Your
allergy.
Your body was failing.
We got the allergy stuff under control. The only thing still, I must have had like COVID in December. I think I have like long COVID stuff only because I still can't smell a damn thing. Like Cody could be ripping ass the entire show. I would have no idea. I would have no idea.
Sounds like long COVID. I don't know what else would be causing
that. I can't smell anything. And most foods I can taste. There's a few foods that are definitely, you notice I haven't been having Reese's peanut butter cups. They don't taste as good. And I thought they were the bucket you got me, but I think it might just be.
You thought it was the giant. By the way, do you still have that?
Of course, I'll put it on my fridge. Occasionally, I'll grab a few.
I was about to say, you might need to bring some of that in because we don't want those to go bad.
I'm just going to bring them in, and maybe that's what we'll set in the corner over there.
We cleaned this whole corner yesterday.
As long as people don't just throw the wrappers there and actually use the trash can.
That's the sign. You're only allowed to take them out. You put that on the thing. You're only allowed to take them out here if you throw your trash away.
I will bring the giant Reese's peanut butter cup bucket back in because, the pace we're going is not good. Still can't smell. It's the weirdest thing, man. Hmm. Some situations, I guess it's good. Like when I was in Vegas, it was nice. There was no cigarette smell. You know, normally you walk in some of the casinos or whatever and you smell the cigarettes. Nope. No issues whatsoever. Someone wants to know, let's see, do you guys normally rip ass in the studio? No. Try not to.
It's a closed space.
Yeah. There's no hiding it. Yeah.
I think it's polite in this environment in which we are in a closed four-wall room with not a lot of space between us. I think it's polite to just hold that. Go for a walk or something if you need to, you know?
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to a couple of terrible ideas from ESPN executives to ruin March Madness. We'll explain that in just a little bit. Yesterday, though, the city manager of Kansas City, Brian Platt, was on KCUR, I believe it was, and he was asked a little bit about where the city is headed now with the Royals in particular for downtown baseball and for the stadium plans. We all know the stadium vote failed on April 2nd. And the quote that is getting some traction today is from the city manager that said the city is in talks with both teams and will take the lead on future negotiations, displacing Jackson County government from that role. He went on to suggest that the next deal for a downtown ballpark might not require a public vote. He also stated his preference for the East Crossroads, the Crossroads location, not the East Village location.
The same location they just tried to get passed via the legislature.
This is really interesting, and I know there's going to be a ton of pushback right away because we just had a vote 3 weeks ago, not even 3 weeks ago, and we know the result, a heavy no vote for a lot of different reasons, as we discussed. It wasn't just the location or anything. But to hear that the city in the next deal might not require a public vote.
Oh?
Now, the city taking the lead makes a lot of sense, that part. Bypass Jackson County legislature for obvious reasons.
Because that didn't go super smooth.
But the idea not requiring a public vote, I can't pretend to know the... Now I'm going to try to see if we can talk to some people to figure out more, but the inner workings on how they can go about this that would not require a public vote at the city level.
Sure.
I don't know what that would entail, but that's fascinating, man. That's really interesting. And if that is true, this would be, you know, there's other examples in other cities where something like this has had a vote has failed and... You know, the city of Pittsburgh, I believe, decided to do something on their own at one point in time, and they still got it done. Usually you hear about this stuff like at the state level more than the city level. But that's interesting to know that if you're still wanting downtown baseball, you probably like this development. If you were someone that voted no and you hated the location, you're probably pissed off.
Well, because you're getting even less say. Our whole argument the first time, Gold, was let the people say whether or not they want this. Well, the people spoke pretty loud and clear that they were not interested and this version of the plan for the Chiefs and for the Royals, and that would be the case. But also, I'm not surprised to find out that Lucas, who supported this thing late, and his city planner have probably explored what are our options if we just ignore the voters. Look, I'll say that's bold. But also, there's a term limit. This goes to the same thing that happened with Parsons with the Chiefs and why the Chiefs really did want this last vote to pass for Missouri, because they have a good relationship with the governor, who will not be the governor come next year in 2025, is that if you're Lucas, you have a term limit. You're in office and then you won't be. So if you want to do something that, I mean, based on the way it just got voted in Jackson County, would be unpopular, the time to afford that luxury is when you're not going to do it. Now, I would say that some of that would play into like some bigger political games of, do you have other ambitions to be in other offices? Then maybe you can't. But the idea that they're going to try to bypass the voters, at least according to one quote over at KCUR, that's bold. I still think their best option is to separate and come up with their own plans that are more inclusive and, more importantly, more transparent. I think that in listening to more and more people about this, a big thing that hung them up was nobody seemed to know what they were voting for. They themselves were confused about what exactly are you asking for these things, because so many of the details came in late.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason why the city clearly would have serious interest in trying to take the lead on this going forward. We've discussed the 1% earnings tax.
They get a huge chunk
and,
for that.
And they get, I think it was like 25, 30% or something like that of the earnings tax. So there is motivation clearly for the city to want to take the lead and ensure that the downtown ballpark happens. And the location will be a very interesting thing because we know based on multiple reports that the city preferred the Crossroads site, which makes sense that the city manager, just in the interview yesterday, said that's still the site. You know, now we can get into the specifics. You know, is the mayor thrilled? I'm sure that that quote was out there yesterday. Maybe not. Maybe the city's
like, asked him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Something they want it out there like 2 months from now, you know, not 2 weeks after the election. Like, there's a little bit of the, I don't know, healing process is the right phrase, but you know, to come out that quickly and already be like, oh, by the way, we might just bypass the public. That's, I mean, that, you know, I agree, by the way, that that is the path they should choose, which is
you think that that's better than just trying to like re-bring a plan in front of the voters.
I mean, the city taking the lead, I guess, is what I think the city does need to take the lead going forward. And I still think downtown baseball makes all the sense in the world for the city and moving forward and what that can do for the area. But I don't know if that's something I would be saying publicly 2 weeks after the voter turnout suggested. And clearly no.
This is always an interesting line for me, because like the text line and other people pointed this out, hey, it kind of sucks to let Jackson determine the fate of a team supported by Greater Kansas City, but they're the people who have to pay for it. Like, do you realize the Pandora's box it opens to say, let the whole city decide what Jackson County should pay for? By that same measure, be like, hey, Gold, I want a super cool thing out in Johnson County. I get to choose if you have to pay for it. It just doesn't fundamentally work that way, or extrapolated into even bigger portion of states or country. You know, like if Jackson County is the one who has to foot the bill, they're the one who get to decide if it's going to be there. Look, I'm still not, like yesterday, I think Carrington on social media had made the comparison. I don't know, he talked about it on the show. I'm only basing it off of one tweet. But he had made the comparison that said, look, the Coyotes and the Chiefs, or the Royals, similar situation. I don't think they're similar. I don't think those two because NHL teams have moved 10 times in the last 40 years and baseball teams have moved once, and a million other factors, as in Phoenix went through the process like 5 times to try to get that thing in Phoenix, and it failed every time trying to get that thing in Phoenix. It's so much further down the road for a decade plus that the Coyotes have been dealing with that. The Royals failed one vote. The Chiefs and Royals failed one vote.
Right.
I think we're so far from that point. I'm not panicked about them leaving the area yet. Nope. And whether you want them downtown, they get to decide if they're willing to foot the bill to have them in their part of town. I still think both teams are going to be in Kansas City. I just don't think that it's a real threat that they wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, but based off of the quote there, I mean, I agree with you that the vote, Jackson County made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But if the city's taking a lead on it, and if you are to believe that it actually is going to be that they think they can do it without a public vote, well, then Jackson County won't be deciding it. The city of Kansas City, Missouri will be deciding it. If, in fact, that is actually the path that they choose to take. I think we're still too early to know for sure. But I think that's the second time. I haven't seen the non-public vote part, but the mayor was on with Carrington the day or two after the vote failed.
Something like that.
And I don't remember the exact quote, but he, at that point, just kind of
hinted
that the city might be taking the lead. And now this is twice that two city officials, and this one was even more clear,
and they
have said that.
Other.
So, and we know he met with John Sherman already. So I do believe that this city is going to take the lead. And if you tell me that there's a path where they don't need the public vote, then I think that's exactly the path they're going to end up taking.
I'll say this. I would not be interested in re-entering negotiations with Frank White and company.
Well, there's no reason to.
That did not go smooth. He is not real interested in working that hard with you. So, like, I still think so much of that is personal. Ooh.
I mean, it has to be. That doesn't mean that there weren't plenty of mistakes, as we said, and reasonable. But yeah, obviously, there's a lot going on between the two sides there.
Weird. That was such a weird dynamic that their relationship so sour that, because normally you would just think like, I have my number retired at your stadium. I'll do anything to help you, the Royals. It went the exact opposite way than that.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get back into the draft and the three draft crushes, if you will, at pick 32. As we know, the draft is a week from Thursday. We'll be at the Landing on the 25th up in Liberty. It's presented by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll all be hanging out there for the first round. Bink and Kristen Osero, the Character Concerns crew, will be doing their live show, and you can make sure to check out those shows on the Odyssey app and 610sports.com anyway, and Saturday mornings. But if you want to win $610, who doesn't, plus some Chiefs merch, you think you got the draft figured out, just go to 610sports.com. There's a draft form you can fill out. You got to turn it in the night of the draft on the 25th, and you get points for selecting who's going where. And it's that simple. You think you've been following along all these mock drafts, you think you got the draft figured out, now a chance to put that to test. on Thursday, April 25th.
Don't get drunk, by the way. That email's coming. Mind your business.
Oh, well, they can get drunk. Yeah. You mean us.
You.
Yes.
You specifically, you know?
Well, I definitely won't be. Drive. I got a 45-minute, not that I would be driving drunk anyway, but the point being is that it's a 45-minute drive, you know?
Yeah,
that,
good cover, by the way.
You're welcome.
Because otherwise you'd be like, I knew Cole, if was, it's only 10 minutes, loves
I,
it.
I realized as I was saying that, I quickly said that. I knew
but it
someone,
is a long drive.
Someone was going to text in very quickly. March Madness is in the rearview mirror, and it was a fun tournament. We've discussed the upsets, what we like about it. Why do people insist on trying to change a good thing? Because that's what this is. Former ESPN executives suggest a couple ideas that have been gaining traction. One of them makes ultimate sense. The other two are terrible. Let me read you a few of them. One of the suggestions from these executives suggest that the men's tournament doesn't open on Thursday, Friday anymore. That the men's tournament would open on Saturday and Sunday. What? Don't we love the Thursday, Friday?
Don't
heading
we like
in the
because
weekend?
It's the weekend?
Heading
isn't that part of the appeal?
Right.
Half of the games are on the weekend. Why the hell would I want to? Who wants sporting events more on Mondays and Tuesdays? Objectively, the worst 2 days of the week.
Yeah, I don't know why this would actually be anything anybody would want. You head into the weekend. It's also fun, like because usually some people are still at work, so you're. You're at work. Everybody's talking about the tournament. Everybody's doing the bracket stuff. All of that. No, we don't need to mess with Thursday, Friday. That's definitely not an issue. The other one, use home arenas for both tournaments the first weekend. For those who don't know, the women's tournaments, the early rounds, the top four seeds host their pods at their own venue.
Yes.
So Iowa and Caitlin Clark, they hosted in Iowa City. You know, USC hosted out in Southern California. I don't like this either because I like the neutral site atmospheres. Those are fun. And the advantage you would get if you're, well, I'll just use the Oakland and Kentucky upset. If Kentucky was hosting that game instead,
they're not going to lose it.
Is what Jack Golke or whatever? Is he knocking down all these threes in Lexington? I don't know.
Significantly less likely, especially just a few arenas, right? Allen, Rupp, Cameron Indoor, but there are a lot of or Iowa State, right? There are a lot of other great home venues that would make her a bigger challenge. I don't hate that one as much, but I love the upset is the most important part of the tournament. It is the 14 seed. It is Jack Golke. That is what makes the tournament something different than any other sporting event you watch. That is what differentiates it from every other type of playoff system scenario you like to watch is that tiny little know-nothing school kid who played it Division II whatever and played it D1 1 year hits 10 threes in a game, and he's just not going to do that there. So, like, I'm generally against that. Although I will say, same as the college football playoff, I've never seen a home atmosphere for a college environment, and that seems like it would be fun. Because high-level college environments like Michigan, Ohio State at the Big House are fun. So, like, I'm not saying that it couldn't translate to a college end, but I don't know if I'd trade it.
I think the reason why it wouldn't work in college basketball when it sounds great in college football is because you're only dealing with in what could be the case 16 teams or you're dealing with 12. They're the 12 best teams where I think college basketball. It's not say that Alabama's hosting Missouri or Ohio State's hosting Missouri. Not that Missouri beating Ohio State wouldn't be a big upset, but it's not like if it were neutral site, it would help out or it's not like it's going to make that much big. It's not going to be that much bigger of a difference. I don't think where with basketball, if you're talking about Yale playing Auburn, Yale's not winning that game in Auburn. FDU is not beating Purdue in Mackey Arena.
Missouri's never beating them in Tuscaloosa.
Well, I think you could argue it, but it's the premise of it, making it better for college basketball. I don't know if it eliminates the upset with college football, where in basketball, I think it would totally and completely upset it because if you're Missouri, you're top 10 in the country for a reason. And I know that there's a lot more disparity in college football, but the likelihood of an upset, I think, is more in college football, where going to a home atmosphere makes a lot more sense, where if Purdue's hosting FDU, that's never going, like the likelihood of an upset goes down significantly more, I think, in basketball than it would football, at least.
The last suggestion from these execs, I don't mind at all. I think this is smart, and this is probably where we're headed, which is hold the men's and women's Final Four in the same city.
That's
this
just
year,
a layup.
The men's Final Four was at State Farm Stadium in Phoenix. The women's Final Four was at the Cavs Arena in Cleveland. I understand there's a discrepancy on venue size and, you know, what are, you know, do you have to block off seats or whatever? So it didn't look like there was 40,000 less people. This year, they probably could have filled 60,000 or whatever for the women's Final Four at a football stadium. The same city though is good. Now, would you have to, you know, find a way to have them turn over the building to where, you know, you in some years you would have some seats blocked off? Sure, whatever, not a big deal. I do think the Final Four is in the same city. Wouldn't you want that?
You could
if you're
do
the
same city, different venue, by the way. You could still put them in like in Phoenix, right? One person could play at the Suns Arena and one could play in Glendale.
Most cities you could do that. Yeah,
uh-huh. Most cities you were getting a Final Four.
Yeah, now. Does that defeat the purpose of doing it though? Like, do you want them in the same venue? Why not just put them in the same venue?
Because the men's team shouldn't be in a football stadium anyway.
But we know they're not going backwards on that. We lost that battle a long time ago when they started putting all these regional finals even in these big football stadiums.
I wonder if, I don't know if this could work, but theoretically, so the Final Four is Saturday, you know, two night games. Then you have Monday being the championship. I don't know if this could work. But is there a scenario where in the same venue you have two men's games and two women's games, say they alternate, and the ticket goes for a session? If you want to watch the first session, just like they normally do during the tournament, you want to watch the first Final Four matchups, you can buy the first session, the men's game and the women's game, and then you do the men's.
How many people are watching? Because these sessions, if you've been to the first round men's tournaments, plenty of people only buy the night set. Like, not sure, everybody going to watch four games. I don't know how many people want to watch two Final Four, in one session, a men's Final Four, then the women's game, and then go back to the men's game at night, and then the women's game at night. That seems rotating, and that seems a little too much.
I'd rather just put them in different venues. You get one venue decked out for the champions and for the Final Four teams. I do think you get the occasional crossover that works really great with that. It's not going to work every year. But for the years where, like, NC State's in both, jackpot. The odds of you getting, like,
yeah, I think
good
it's happened, like, three times.
No,
ever,
I'm not saying.
I wouldn't
saying,
build it I'm, around that. But, yeah, here
no,
you go.
No, I'm just
yeah.
saying, like, you do get the occasional luck end of it where UConn was right in the mix, right, and NC State right in the mix where maybe you end up with multiple fan bases in the same area.
Sure. So that's the only idea that I actually like. Move them both to the same city. I don't need to be moving the men's tournament or the women. I don't need to be doing
the
days.
I hate the first one the most. The idea of making it Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday makes me sick. I hate that one the most. Okay, that's just a horrible,
there's
horrible,
no, there's nothing
horrible
that it,
idea.
There's nothing different that comes out of it other than just the
TV stations make more money. That's literally it. Because they get more games on Friday, Thursday and Friday than they do on Saturday, Sunday. And they're saying, sweet, we'll air more games at a time where everybody can watch. So all you do is get TV companies make more money. Nobody else gets greater enjoyment out. That's why it's an ESPN exec who suggested it.
Yeah, this was all television driven.
Yeah. Of course.
They wanted to change the windows when some of the games there, all that kind of stuff. We don't need to change. Some things are good. Like, I'm all for, hey, making sure you keep up with the times and you continue to advance your product and all that. We don't need to ruin
change
certain
anything.
Things.
Put the national title game on a weekend if you're going to air it at
don't start it at
8:30
at
night. You know, figure out a way to do that.
How about don't air it at 8:30?
The college football national title game is on a Monday. Put it on Saturday. I don't know why we're still. I think that
fixing all the wrong things.
I think it comes up almost every year that discussion. But
all right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending and then back into the three draft crushes for the Chiefs and who they can take at 32.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, those Royals who are now 11-6 on the season. They're 5-0 against the Chicago White Sox, and good news, they take on the White Sox.
6-6 against everyone else, got it.
Yeah, they take on the White Sox tonight. If weather holds up, 6:40, first pitch there in Chicago. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Brady Singer, his 2-0 record and 0.98 ERA, go to the mound against not Nick Cannon, but Jonathan Cannon, as we clarified earlier in the show.
How many kids does Jonathan Cannon have? That's what I said. Nick Cannon's got like 14.
Definitely less than Nick Cannon. No matter what, without doing any research on Jonathan Cannon, who's making, I think, his big league debut tonight.
He is.
He has make fun of him. Less kids than Nick Cannon. That
actually
is accurate.
Really more making fun of Nick Cannon.
Well, it's definitely making fun of Nick Cannon. Yes.
Nick Cannon, by the way, has 12 kids. Yeah, that's not way off.
Again, I think Jonathan Cannon's, it's safe to say, has less
kids. I think
so,
too.
And by the way, I don't think any sentence had ever been more true than that he knows of. Like, if you got 12 kids with, like, six different, then that's that you know of, he has 12 kids. There's a chance of some other stray cannon floating around.
What's the Mount Rushmore of having a lot of kids?
Antonio Cromartie was way up there.
Phillip Rivers.
Without going, like, extreme religion, like the Duggars or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's fair to Rivers has a lot of kids, but Cromartie's more Cromartie angle, right? 10+ kids. Cromartie,
Nick Cannon, Phillip Rivers.
I think Phillip Rivers makes the list.
Phillip Rivers is 7, right?
I think it's 6 or 7.
And then this is an article from
there's another rapper, NBA Youngboy, who has a lot of kids as well.
Someone says, like, you Nick. Guys ever hear of gold diggers? Nick Cannon did it the other way around. I'm super proud of him.
George Foreman, 12 children. Evander Holyfield, 11 kids. No. Travis Henry, 11 kids. Muhammad Ali had 9 kids, according to this Mike Tyson.
Someone says Tyreek Hill might end up on this list soon. That's true. Mm. That's very true.
According to some reports, might already be on that list. Next up on Watch Trending, Patrick Mahomes named one of Time's most influential people of the year. In the article, he talks about wanting to go to spring training with the Royals, which certainly couldn't blame him there. Also says he wants to host SNL one day. You think he'll actually get to do it?
Yes. Yes. Kelsey's already done it. That only helps his profile as well. It turned out well for Kelsey. I think Mahomes, now his is going to be further in his career. Like, I don't think next year Mahomes is going to be on SNL. I think it's going to be a little bit further down the road.
If you're watching, if you need two very funny things to watch this weekend, one, watch the episode with local Heidi Gardner breaking on camera over a Beavis and Butthead sketch. It's amazing. And look, Ida lost it too. I get it. The other thing that was hilarious that I watched this previous week, Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones. Just a piece de resistance. I mean, just unbelievably funny. He's just an over-the-top comedian, and there's spicy things, so obviously it's funny.
Next up on what's trending, some sad news to pass along today. Whitey Herzog passing away at the age of 92. Baseball Hall of Famer, Royal Hall of Famer, obviously World Championship Manager with the St. Louis Cardinals. News came out earlier today that he did pass away at 92 years old. Got a couple Cardinals, like friends of Cardinals fans texting or whatever. Obviously that name resonates even more there.
Sure. And he played for the Kansas City Athletics and managed here.
Yeah, like he's a Royals Hall of Famer, so that automatically, but you know, he won championships in St. Louis.
Yeah, and it's a big deal in baseball. Obviously he's a Hall of Famer elected in 2010, sorry, by the Veterans Committee. Big name known all throughout baseball. Sure. Next up on What's Trending, reports that Steph Curry, LeBron, Durant, Embiid, and others will all headline the Olympic team for this upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics. Hard to not get excited about the possibilities for the Olympic Games when it's every single major star in the NBA who's going to be on the squad. And, you know, of course, I'm not surprised LeBron wants to get one more gold medal. They are presumably, I haven't looked, presumably the favorites in this upcoming games. Typically are.
I have not looked for tonight's
play. Canada normally, or Canada's going to be really good. And then Spain and Argentina always tend to, I mean, France might be
who's
good.
Canada
Wemby. Canada's got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. They've got Jamal Murray. A couple other guys that are in the league.
Thinking of hoops, playing tournaments tonight as well. So we'll be watching some of those. We'll see what the Lakers can do against the Pelicans this evening. Lastly, thinking of the NBA, you guys remember a couple weeks ago the investigation beginning around Jontae Porter and the prop bets where there were multiple large bets made on the under for some of his assists and points in those same games. He pulled himself out of the game. Pretty suspicious and suspect, to say the least. Update on that. They still haven't determined if he was involved in that directly. What we do know is a report from the Action Network today that he had a betting account in Colorado with FanDuel where he bet millions of dollars, was part of their VIP account program from 2021 to 2023. In that same story, it says he did not make any wagers on the NBA or college basketball. He allegedly placed over 1,000 wagers at the sportsbook. Quote, he was firing all the time, a source telling the Action Network. We still don't know the most important piece, which is, will there be findings in an investigation from the league that connect those that bet on his props to him? That's what will get you banned from the league. That is what will ultimately potentially cause you to go to prison. That's the bigger question. Today's news is, I think it's just, it's a fun thing. It's a headline thing because the fact that he bet millions of dollars on sports is not illegal. Like, that's not just me defending sports betting. That is just a fact. Like, it is, to me, the story today really isn't much other than a little TMZ stuff. Like, everybody loves hearing a story when it comes to, like, wow, millions of dollars. Action Network wouldn't have put out a story today if, like, he had a FanDuel account. He made one wager in his life. That was it. They, you know, they do a story because it sounds crazy. You bet millions of dollars on sports. Nothing illegal about what he's done yet. We need to find out the most important part, which is what we care about, which is, did he bet on the NBA or have someone do that for him? That's what we're still trying to find out.
You're not wrong there, but I also think it's just going to add to the suspicion because he only made $2.6 million in his career and he's betting millions of dollars in a legal betting site while it's like the whole story, while simultaneously being accused of maybe fixing his own props. It starts to be like, ooh, did he have a problem because of how much he was betting? Because, look, I wouldn't think it'd be weird if you were betting millions of dollars if you had Patrick Mahomes' money. Jontae didn't make that much.
I mean, right, you know, but again, it's going to sound
my entire net worth.
I understand. It's going to sound like, again, Alex is defending gambling again, but millions of weight. He didn't make a $2 million wager, and now he's betting. It is very easy to rack up. Like, Cody, you'd be surprised if you were to look on your whatever app you're using.
Sure.
And you were to look up your dollar amount over the last 3 years of what you've cycled in and out. It doesn't mean you've wagered 10 grand, but I bet you've wagered $3,000 or $4,000 over the last 3 years. And you might be like, wow, that seems like you wagered a lot. It's pretty easy to do that because it's 25.
You win and lose.
You win and lose.
It's the same as the Ipe where he bet 180, but he took in 140.
Yeah. Porter didn't just say, I'm betting $2 million today.
No, I know.
So like this notion of like, well, he doesn't have enough money to bet $2 million. How did he do that? I guess some of the details get lost in all of this. Like if anybody listening that bets on a weekly basis or during NFL season, you might be stunned of the dollar amount you've racked up over the last 3 years. You didn't lose that kind of money. You didn't actually physically deposit $1,000 in your account probably to bet, but you've bet over $1,000 a lot quicker than you think.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, it would be like I bet my entire year's salary over the last 2 years, which is a lot. And look, different things, different circumstances, different life. I'm definitely not saying this makes him guilty. It doesn't.
That's all, I guess, where I'm taking issue. I know you're not. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, this is terrible. No, we didn't. This is not. That's not illegal. The part that he's in trouble for, we don't know the answer to yet, which is he connected in any way, and it sounds like he might be, to intentionally pulling himself out of games in those same games where people were betting his unders? Did he get a kickback? Did he tell people to do this? Was he betting? That's the stuff that is problematic, not that pro athlete bets millions of dollars in legal manner on sports.
No, I just wonder whether or not, and I don't think you're wrong there, but man, once you start betting millions, people want to just start making the assumption and be like, does he have a problem?
I'll be honest. Like if I was a pro athlete, and even if you were doing everything above board, like just pick whatever pro athlete you want. and you just like, not on your sport, but you just like to bet, and you find out that baseball player loves to bet on the NBA, and it, you know, and he's made, let's say, $20 million in his career, and so he's bet millions of dollars over the last 3 years, 4 years on. Doesn't mean that he's breaking the law. Doesn't mean that he's betting on baseball. No. But people assume that, and that's why a lot of players.
Somebody can get their hands on you if you're betting that amount, and it's not going well or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why plenty of pro athletes don't ever want to make it public that they're actually betting. Like, I'm not. You and I have talked off air. I know of multiple athletes that love to bet. It doesn't mean that they're betting on the sport they play.
No. I mean, I've seen an athlete place a bet. Sure. Like a legal bet. Yeah.
There's nothing illegal about that.
No.
We've had conversations with some athletes. Anyway, so.
You know it is. Once people get to a certain dollar amount and you're already accused of some pretty bad stuff, then people just make the assumption.
No question. No question about that. All right, I wanted to talk more about the draft because next Thursday, we're going to be at the Landing, as we've said, for our draft party. Tomorrow, Bink's going to be in studio with us in the 11 o'clock hour talking all things draft. And we want to make sure that you guys register for that contest to win $610. You just got to fill out that form on 610sports.com and predict how the draft's going to go. It's that simple. And join us next Thursday. Right now, though, assume you're sitting there at 32. Or it's a Thursday night. And there's a couple names on the board. Who are you still hoping is on the board at pick 32 in a realistic manner for the Chiefs? Because, yeah, Roma Dunze is not going to be there. So let's be realistic about this.
You don't think it's going to be him?
I don't believe he'll be there at 32.
Okay.
This isn't going to surprise you. As we talked about earlier, I'm going to go with two tackles.
So two tackles.
I hope there's a couple offensive tackles still on the board. I do think that is a need for this team. I do think it would be nice to have a long-term answer at left tackle. Maybe you think that's Wanya Morris, and their draft strategy could tell us a lot about that. But Kingsley Suamataia of Baylor and Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma. Preferably Kingsley over Guyton, but those are two names that if they were there and the Chiefs picked them, I'd be pretty happy, man. I'd be like, all right, fills a need. I kind of like the track record. We've always joked about the quote-unquote requirements of a tackle in Andy Reid's system, what they look for in terms of some of the measurables.
He's got every damn measurable imaginable.
And they fit that, yeah. Then A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver. I think he's going to be off the board before then.
I do too.
That's why he's on the wish list. Not a crazy, oh, he's going 15, but he might go 25. A.D. Mitchell had the lowest drop rate of any wide receiver coming out of the draft class or coming into the draft class out of college.
Which I guess is appealing to you.
Yeah.
As a team who dropped a, I don't know, I'm guessing league high amount of balls last year, or at least close to it. Look, Guyton and I agree on for a variety of reasons. I understand there's some real questions about the number of games he played at left tackle in college, which is the same problem you could argue with Jawan Taylor, right? He didn't really play left tackle. People are going all the way back to like, I mean, I guess he played left tackle in high school and for a little bit in college, but not the amount that you would normally want a player to do during that time. But look, I think the truth is that he makes sense, and I trust Andy Heck to develop an offensive lineman. They have had a varied amount of talent at tackle. And until they got to their like third tackle in a Super Bowl 3 years ago, it was not a problem whoever they've started there. Orlando Brown Jr. is a flawed player. Jawan Taylor is a flawed player. Donovan Smith is a flawed player. And it's never held them back from their things. So Guyton is on my list. And then, of course, a wide receiver is on my list. I'm leaning towards Leggett. I think that's the guy I want. I think available at 32, even if Keon Coleman and Worthy and A.D. Mitchell were all there, I want Leggett. I like the size and speed combination. I like that he's built like a big, tall, fast wide receiver in the vein of DK Metcalf you mentioned earlier. That's his build. They haven't had a wide receiver like that in an Andy Reid system, and I swear to God I looked, probably since T.O. That was the last time they had a guy with those physical traits, and he was pretty good in their system. So I'd like to maybe go back to that. And the last one, because I was just going across board. I think if I were just saying anything I want, I'd probably just go another wide receiver here. But I went defensive lineman Johnny Newton. I think that he's really talented. And I've told you, I do not think you can spend too many first-round picks on a defensive lineman. So I don't think that that's a position you can overdraft. It's just too important. So Johnny Newton ended up being my third guy.
I just wonder how many of both the names we mentioned, or multiple names we mentioned, how many of those guys could slide to the second round? Like, A.D. Mitchell's not
almost every single guy I mentioned has been projected somewhere between 20 and like 45.
Because I could see Tyler Guyton for sure sliding to the second round. I could see Suamataia sliding. A.D. Mitchell's the one I would be really surprised if he falls out of the first round. other than that, yeah, you're probably right there in the 32 range. Who are the three for you, Drew, that you think, hey, you got to grab if they're there at 32?
I think Ladd McConkey is a guy that, for a similar type of reason that Cody said, I think that Ladd is the guy that can fit the very well in the offense. He's going to be maybe the best available wide receiver for what he brings to the table. Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle, to give for the reason Cody said Guyton, maybe the lack of snaps. Jordan Morgan over 2,100 snaps at left tackle in his college career, only gave up 3 sacks over the last 2 seasons. So I think that in terms of reliable guy that's played the position, big 6'6", he makes sense. And then a guy that I'd be surprised if he gets out of the first round actually is Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson. I think
someone just mocked him there. I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember either. But in regards to if the Chiefs want to go best available again for somebody who can play right away, as opposed to the Felix where it's a bit of a project, I think Nate Wiggins is a guy where if he does slide, he might be the pick. We've seen corner, not just Nate Wiggins, mm-hmm. but Ennis Rakestraw.
He's fast.
Others.
Fast corner. The tackling is the concern with him. But like Cody said, every player has flaws at 32. Yeah. But the tackling is definitely the one thing. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah. I'm sorry.
Is that the thing we care the most about in corners?
No.
Ability to tackle?
It's up there.
I mean, they're a shutdown.
It's up there, but it's not the number one thing I'm looking for at all, no.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that one thing L'Jarius Sneed had before this past season was a little bit of a tackle? Like, his coverage was solid, but he had a little bit of a – he didn't tackle the greatest.
I mean, was it Marcus Peters? He was just probably like a league average tackler, if that makes sense.
Marcus Peters just wanted to avoid contact.
Yeah.
There's a difference. You know what I mean?
A lot of business decisions.
Right. There's a difference between, hey, mate, you just got to work on tackling. You're not a great tackler. And, he makes business decisions to not go and seek contact. But okay. Those are just three. Those are a couple names that if they're there at 32, it sounds like none of us would be disappointed in the Chiefs actually taking at pick 32. Of course, next week we'll give our final picks on where we think. Well, we're going to fill out one of those draft forms as well for fun and see
Are
how
you?
We.
Yeah,
see
who does.
We might as well see how we do for fun. And again, if
I
you guys,
win, I want the $610 from the two of you. I want
not
$305 each from you two. If I beat everybody.
We do know for sure we are not eligible to win the money.
You want us to give you $300 each is what
you're
saying.
If I beat everybody, I'd still like the $610.
From us?
Or I would like the winner to just give it to me out of reasonable responsibility, you know? If they win, even though they technically won the contest, they should give me the money.
You want them just to give you free money?
Not free money. I won.
If it were me, maybe I would give you the money because of my previous decisions. But I don't think anybody else would make that mistake.
Of giving a stranger $100. He's really only $200.
Yeah, but
away.
We got to get him out of this apartment. We got to get the update on the
apartment.
How far
up the ladder have you gotten now?
I called corporate today. And
during the show?
During a break, yes, as a matter of fact. I was able to do it during the break, too.
Did you say, hey, I'm standing in front of a microphone. This microphone can go out to millions of people.
If you guys don't
fix my apartment, I'm going to turn this microphone on and name that Overland Park Station apartment and go ahead and say how bad you guys have been.
I think I didn't go as far as to say I'm in front of the microphone, but I did say, like, look, you told me this. This is what's been tested, and I want it fulfilled.
You told me I could get out of this lease if I... They discovered mold. They said they discovered mold. Somebody on the text line, I hope you got that guy's email.
He offered up some mold services.
I wish that I could go with this person, but it sounds like they might be going through their own, like the big management property company has somebody that they go to. So
you might be using your own guy though, you know? Yeah. Don't trust the management company. What do they know? Then you can take them to small claims court. They're going to send somebody to that. Get your $100 back.
Drew needs an attorney. He needs a lot of things here to get him out of this situation. I just think
he needs one hard ass.
I don't know.
Everyone has a family member who does this kind of thing for you.
Like, do you believe the apartment complex is ever going to say, you know what? We think you should break your lease. We'll let you out of it and just go. I don't know if you're ever going to get the answer you're wanting without you ramping it up and being like, we're leaving. And because of these issues, we've documented it. We are not going to pay the lease fee. And you need to ramp it up versus, ever going to just flat out be like, you know what, Drew? We apologize. We'll just let you leave your lease. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
Well, so what I was told is that they want to bring in the mold testing company to determine the
severity. Say, I don't care the
severity.
Extent. I want out.
Oh, no. Right. That's what I said. They want to determine the severity of the mold, if it's hazardous or not. I was like, excuse me, is mold as far as I'm concerned. So
I would agree.
That was my complaint to corporate. So we'll see where that, if that gets anywhere. But... They said that they would find something out today. We'll see if
see
they do,
say.
Because there's been times where they've said today, and it hasn't been the same day.
See what they say today, because otherwise, I think you also, you play the, hey, like my wife, she's about to put, she's not willing to live here anymore. She's got some health concerns that if there is any bit of mold, it can be really concerning for us, and we can't be living here.
He's telling you to lie, which I support. I just want to, like, I don't know if her health's a problem or not, but you should do that. I agree.
She did say she wasn't feeling great over the weekend.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Use that to your leverage.
Mm-hmm.
As leverage.
She's been coughing a lot more.
Someone said we need on the text line said they need to get me a Bengals fan to help me out on this one.
That's
going to be hard to find here.
Plenty of KC people, our listeners have been great. Offered their services
Thank you very much for everybody.
Yeah, text line's been very helpful for you and your trying times.
We've
between
had
the couch and now this.
We've had like mold specialists. We've had attorneys. We've had plumbers. We've had rental company. We've had all kinds of different people in different lines of work offer their help.
Have you found a new apartment you like?
We found one place that we like. We might be going to look at a couple others.
Should we ask the text line if it's an okay place to live? Because if we had asked this ahead of time,
sure, just move to my
save
complex.
You some trouble.
You know, just move to my complex.
You let him use your garage every once in a while, you know?
Where's my car going to be?
I don't know.
I don't have a two-car garage. It's a one-car garage.
My that's good point.
No. You've been to my apartment. Now it's another 10 minutes south of where you're at, so I don't know if you want to go that far.
Honestly, it does not matter.
He wants out so bad.
We have looked.
He'll move anywhere. He'd live in Lawrence.
Cody, no joke, we have looked actually in Olathe, not the edge of Olathe.
Okay.
Where Gold resides.
Gold lives on the edge of Olathe.
I live in Overland Park.
It's a short jog to Olathe.
I live on the edge of Overland Park.
Towards Olathe.
And you live on the line.
Like, you know what this is? This is the first round pick. You're practically in Olathe. This is practically a first round pick.
I'm about a 3-minute walk to Olathe, but I am technically in Overland Park.
But he's talking actual Olathe.
We were looking in Olathe, and we've also looked in Legends.
Okay. Oh.
Wow, that actually happens
perfect.
To be
perfect. So when Cincinnati comes to town in the future and Joe Burrow still hasn't won a Super Bowl and he plays at
that
new
actually
Arrowhead.
Happens to be the place that we like the most.
Someone says you should just move in with me. He'll even let you sleep in his bed only when I'm out of town. Sorry.
Did you find out that Kramer sleep in your bed?
I believe he did. The blankets the blankets were moved. So I'm pretty sure he slept in the bed. Yeah. I told you I didn't care.
He didn't
I would ask Kramer.
He didn't make the bed.
Well, I think it was a loose make. I would say like a half-assed.
We need to ask Kramer.
Not a proper talk, you know.
What went into his decision making in sleeping? I know that you offered, but how comfortable was he with? Obviously, I guess he was very comfortable.
Okay. Hope everybody has a good rest of the day. Tomorrow, depending on the Royals, we probably have a shorter show tomorrow, but we'll have Jay Binkley in studio as well, talking all things draft. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.